Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Live from the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar, he looks like he may be auditioning to be the next Penn State head coach. He's wearing his whiteout gear.
He is...
The fabulous one.
I will never go up north.
Freddie Bender.
I'm a southern boy. But I will look into the UCLA job.
Freddie in L.A.
I think Bellarmine has more NIL money.
I think little
UCLA does.
Little 21,
they get bigger crowds.
What is a little 21-year-old Neuheisel Jr.? I think he might have a
little Jerry Neuheisel.
Locked up.
It's a weird name. Most people, like anybody named Jerry, they're kind of weird. Isn't that right, Fred?
It is.
Yeah.
But Jerry with a G, you're not weird.
Oh, okay.
But little Neuheisel, I love them carrying him off the field. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's...
Well, he looks like he's 12 years old.
He does.
He's young,
right?
He's 33.
33, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like his dad's high school picture.
I think there's coaches in the NFL that are older than or younger than him still.
That is certainly a game that we will get to here in a little bit. That was one of the... it probably was the surprise of the season so far relative to college football. We get into all the games last week. Our picks and all that. But before we get started, I want to remind everybody that we are on social media on Twitter and Facebook, Twitter/X and Facebook. Just look up the Blockout Sports Pod. Before we get into the football, Tuna, we had talked last week, of course, the Reds had, and you enlightened me. Last week, I made the name of the episode Lessons Learned because I did not know how the first round of the baseball playoffs worked. And the more I thought about it after
the show... Well, they change it every couple of years.
Yeah, so. I know. The more I thought about it after the show, I don't think you should... I don't think it should count as officially making the playoffs unless you get to host one game.
Couldn't agree. I don't even think these should be going on. I mean, you know where I stand. Like, go back to the division winners
right.
One wild card.
Right.
But I don't like three-game series. I don't like the one-game play-in, which I thought was just the dumbest thing they did forever.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
That.
I loved watching those games.
Yeah, I hated
but,
that.
But, yeah, it was stupid. And you screwed up your pitching rotation for the next series. Everything was just thrown out of whack because of that. The three-game series was their Band-Aid. I think they're happy with it. I'm kind of with you. There should be, like, some sort of a, you know, home field thing so your fans get to experience the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, at the minimum, And I get why they don't do it because of the travel and they're trying to squeeze it all in real quick. But at minimum, if the road team wins one of those games, they ought to get a, they ought to get to play the game three in there. But then, or maybe you play game two, but then you're going from the West Coast to Cincinnati on one day.
Right. If you're going to do it, just make it a five-game series. Yeah. Just, I mean, you know, three-game series, one-game play-ins, all that, it needs to go away.
Yeah.
Because a three-game series, honestly, anything can happen. Like, we're watching chaos happen in these five-game series now.
Right,
so, I don't know.
So, and it went just the way that we all predicted, that the Reds-Dodgers series was never close. Dodgers ran away with both games, essentially.
God, that seemed like a month ago.
Yeah, I know. It was last week.
Jeez.
And, you know, it was like I said, it's nice for the Reds to have something to show for their season or whatever. I'm going to always count it as like a half a playoff appearance because they didn't have a chance to play one at Great American. Tuna, your thoughts on your Dodgers and what you've seen in these playoffs so far?
Well, the boys have come alive. My biggest concern going into the postseason was obviously the bullpen. They brought Tyler Glasnow and Roky Sasaki out of the bullpen, and that's a game changer.
Yeah.
When you look at the way that Sasaki – I think Sasaki's going to be a bullpen guy going forward. He might be our closer going forward. I feel like he's just a better player when he's not starting on the mound and he has to come into situations. I love this because when you add those two – now, I don't know if Glasnow is going to continue to do that in a longer series. I would assume probably not. But situationally, knowing that he can come out of the bullpen and pitch well, yeah, I'm all for it. And you got Blake Treinen, obviously probably the one consistent arm in the bullpen for the Dodgers, Vesia. So you add those guys up, I don't feel as bad. And I know our offense has less pressure on them.
Right.
Going in.
You don't feel like you have to score eight runs.
Yeah,
in,
in this order, now that you got Will Smith finally back in there healthy, it's I think we're built for a run, man. I think this team can do it now. Like, I didn't think we had the bullpen to do it. Outside the dot, like, Dave's making all the right calls right now, too. Like, that guy, I mean, he's been in so many damn postseasons, he knows what to do now. And it's just smooth operating. You're watching all these other guys make boneheaded mistakes. Craig Counsell over and over again. That guy, he just screws up everything, man. And but it's nice having a manager that's like, you know, not going to do anything stupid, not going to go strictly by analytics and kind of go off his gut. And I think he's got the trust in the front office now to make the calls on the field himself as he wants. And
he certainly has earned that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree. So I don't know. I like it going forward. Obviously, we're not done with the Phillies yet. Having a two-game lead on them is great, but that's a Phillies team that's loaded for bear, man. I don't really know. We talked about it a little bit while Ranger Suarez isn't starting tonight. I feel like that's the guy to go with, but they're going to start Aaron Nola, which seems like a terrible decision to me, but we'll probably see Ranger Suarez tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But other than that, I feel like Toronto's look like their bats are on fire.
Oh, my God.
They look like a wagon to go against. A Dodgers.
Those first two games were absolutely incredible. And then the way the game started yesterday, I thought, well, this is going to be another 13-3 game.
Yeah, and then Aaron Judge
did
his thing.
And then Aaron Judge, you know, all of a sudden remembers he's Aaron Judge and kind of flip. Well, he did flip that entire game a total 180. And I want to talk just for those people that watched the game last night, or maybe if you didn't.
One of the greatest moments in baseball history.
Was that? No, I don't. I'm probably talking about something different here.
Okay.
I was going to say, that pitch that he hit out, I watched that. I rewound it and watched it like 10 times. Mm-hmm. That's impossible. It's impossible to turn that quick with that much power on a pitch, because my initial thought, and I was only kind of half paying attention, I wasn't like staring at the screen, and when he hit the home run, I was like, I cannot believe that they gave him a pitch that he could drive out of this ballpark. And then I saw it and I went,
there's not
well,
a lot
hell.
Of pitches that he can't
the handle.
They didn't give him a pitch. That was a ball.
Look, I know Aaron Judge has kind of fallen like kind of below the conversation because there's a little fatigue with him and so on. And he was hurt for a chunk of this year. The numbers he put up were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
He's got MVP numbers if Cal Raleigh didn't hit 60 home runs.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think he should probably maybe even still get it. You can argue because he was out for an extended amount of time.
Right.
But, man, he is just incredible at the plate. He's not just a home run hitter. That guy gets on base. He does it all. The only thing is, maybe they should look at playing him back at first base a little bit more because that arm is not there and runners – can run on him a lot,
yeah.
And that's a big like weakness in that Yankees rotation or lineup. But
well, he also had a big error in the, at the beginning of that ball game where he totally missed. I mean, that's just a function of, you know, if you're a real outfielder, you know how the ball caroms off the walls and everything. And he was totally baffled by that.
Yeah, that's another thing. When you got a body that big, you can't just stop that momentum and pivot as quickly as some of these other guys. So I don't know what's wrong with playing him at first. Maybe there's somebody else that knows why. But anyway,
and then you got the Mariners and the Tigers heading to the deciding game 5.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. The most exciting moment, or one of the craziest moments in baseball. That home run that Cal Raleigh hit and the guy wearing the 61 shirt.
Yeah,
what are the odds of that happening?
And sitting in a sea of opposing fans.
Yeah.
He's the singular guy. Mm. His shirt, for those of you who didn't see it, they call Cal Raleigh the big dumper, right?
Yeah.
So he had a shirt on that said, dump here, and then the number 61. And I'll be damned if he didn't hit his 61st home run. It goes over the wall, bounces right to this guy.
Right in the bullpen and then up to him. It like basically lands on his lap and he's like, I
mean, and the announcers at first didn't really catch it and then they went and then they wouldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds that this would happen? And then
this is the best part.
What could have taken it over the top was he took that T-shirt off and he had a identical matching T-shirt, only this one had a 62 on it.
I love it.
How many shirts you think he had?
I don't know.
Preparation for a playoff game.
He was layering.
The Mariners brought him down. He got to take his picture with Kyle Raleigh and like meet with the team.
Absolutely.
And all that. That's cool as hell. So,
yeah. I hope he's sitting in that same seat tonight.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I hope that – or not – tonight, I guess that won't be because they're playing back at Seattle for game 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They Detroit won earlier today. I assume they won. They were up 8-4, whatever.
They won
when
9-3.
Yeah, 9-8-3. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's baseball playoffs have just been a blast so far.
Oh,
and
they
like,
always
they're
are.
Just gonna get better.
They always are. And I mean, once you get into this, as I said, this is to me when the playoffs start.
Right.
I mean, how cool is it to get home from work, you're making dinner, and there's baseball on.
Right.
Like right there when you're off. So, I mean,
back to back to back to back.
I know it.
Tomorrow we've got games at, well, possibly, at 6 and 9, and then Friday at 4:40 and 8. And I love those 4:40, 5 o'clock starts. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I love
that. And then a full load of college football.
Right.
Too.
Which I sent that little meme out the other day that.
Is there a bunch of games Thursday? Who's
all
playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That said, last night, we're recording this on Wednesday night, of course, and Tuesday night was the last day until after Thanksgiving that there isn't a football game of some sort.
How cool is that?
So, I mean, starting next week. Tuesday night games for college, Wednesday college.
And a lot of those teams are the teams with bad records, and they have them play on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, a lot of them, though.
I mean, those schedules were made before it came out.
Tulane, East Carolina's tomorrow.
Western plays the next two Tuesdays in a row.
That's awesome.
So that'll be cool. And
Western's competing
for a
conference championship.
They absolutely are. And they have a chance. to win their conference.
When you got really. Maverick MacGyver, anything's in play.
Hey, the teams that are competing with them, Louisiana Tech, Delaware, and Kennesaw State.
They beat the Blue Hens.
I'm leaning.
They just beat Delaware.
That was a huge win.
It was
them.
A big win. Delaware's pretty good this year. And I'm going to tell you, Western, they usually have to battle like other Samu State, Liberty, and all them.
And they stink.
Got a shot. Yeah, those teams are horrible this year. So,
And that's a perfect transition. Let's roll right into college football. We'll start with our picks. Last week we went 3, 6, 9, 10. And did we go 10-10? We went 10-10 last week. Trav, Tuna, Fred, 3-2. Colin, again, bringing up the rear at 1-4, dragging our average down. Colin, we say it every week, buck up. Now, last week he did not have the luxury of being able to bet on Indiana because Indiana was on a bye.
Oh, well, I'm interested to see this bet.
That's been an automatic pick.
Well, you know.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'll tell you his bet right now.
Oh, I know he's got.
Yes, of course. So we went 10-10.
How come he don't ever bet on the Giants?
Well, I mean, he may be crazy. He's not stupid. That brings our season record to 70-49.
God, that's
one.
Just incredible. Honestly, that's insanity, guys.
And we're betting other games, too. We're not just betting the – well, I'm not just betting those five.
No,
I'm betting all kinds of games on Thursday night, Friday night.
I'm almost embarrassed to say how many games I bet over the course
right,
of a Saturday.
Right. And you know what? Money-wise, I am up on a lot of bets, so we're all doing good.
I'm up enough to where I can throw dumbass money on some of these baseball games.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I love being able to do that with house money. So we're going to get into, at the end of the show, we'll have our picks as we always do. But let's talk a little bit about some of the big games we had last week. I'm not going to start with it, Fred. I'm not going to start with it. I'm going to start with the game that we referenced early in the broadcast, the most shocking result thus far of the season. Penn State turning one loss into two losses and going out to Los Angeles into a Rose Bowl that had about 20,000 people in an 80,000 seat building and absolutely laying a freaking egg. And
I think they're offering, like, if you catch an Uber to the stadium, then the Uber driver gets to come in and watch the game for free.
They should do that. Yeah. They should do that. But, you know, UCLA with an entirely different coaching staff. You had Rick Neuheisel.
It's always dangerous.
Had Rick Neuheisel's kid calling plays. Iamaleva looked like a competent quarterback. He looked great for portions of that game.
Well, I got a theory on this. That first half, little Neuheisel couldn't figure out how to work the headset. So he's got it sitting on the back of his head. He's not pushing the button when he's talking. It's like
he was just doing whatever he wanted to.
I think Iamaleava was out there just calling plays from the huddle and just running because his legs looked amazing.
Yeah.
And he was running all over the place.
Yeah.
So
and they went on from there.
I think he's like, screw it, I'm doing this. And then little Jerry
and
got all the
started working.
Credit. Yeah,
that's right, dude. Well, and that is dangerous when you have a new coaching staff and they're moving people up and you're like, You know they're going to probably improve unless they all should have been canned. But I think it's pretty cool. I like how Franklin, you know, even on ESPN, they were all saying that he was complaining about the travel. He named like three or four excuses, knowing that Oregon traveled all the way across the country and beat them in their own house in a whiteout. So.
And I'm with Tuna now. The travel thing, that excuse is done.
Right, it's over. Yeah.
It's over. These guys are pro athletes. They're not flying on Allegiant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're in a thing you can lie down. You're out there a couple days early. You're getting great meals provided, all that. I don't buy that travel thing at all. Mm-mm. And any coach that uses that as an excuse can get bent.
And that is a Big Ten loss that hurts them big time.
Well, I loved it, of course, and I want all those teams to lose every game. So, and I want Penn State to be like whatever they can be, like 8-5 when Indiana goes out there to play them. Yeah. To be honest with you,
he's got a lot of pressure on him now. That's for sure. That he already had pressure on him.
Yeah, I was about to say. I feel like he's had a lot of pressure. I think Penn State fans are finally sick of it.
I meant to look up the top him versus the top 10. It can't be good.
It's horrible. He hasn't won it. He's like 1-0. Or he may be.
He's won a couple bowl. No, he's won a couple bowl games when they were like 9-3 or whatever.
Well, he won a game in the playoffs last year, but that was against Boise State.
Right, but for the most part, no, Clunker City.
Yeah, just because you're in Amish country doesn't mean you have to coach like you're in Amish country.
And that is clearly the worst loss. I mean, that's the worst loss of his career. He never had a loss that bad when he was at Vanderbilt. Yeah,
no, it was always the big games. He'd win the ones that he was supposed to and lose the games that
I mean,
were
think
the
about
big
it.
Games.
UCLA had not won a game.
Not only did they not win a game.
They were like one of the worst teams in Division
I. Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
They were one of the worst things at anything I've ever seen.
Right.
Like,
But those, like I was saying, those teams like Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, they can come up now and they can't be worse than what they were. So you got to watch out for those schools because they're trying all new things. The teams that all had their coaches fired midseason. Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech do not look like they're doing any better. Petrino, he might be able to pull something off. You never know.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I think this coaching staff is like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a train wreck down there. I really do.
Did you guys see there was some late breaking like news on like the On3 or whatever that sources close to the North Carolina program are now saying that the coaching staff expects a head coaching change within the next 2 weeks and they're already sending out like feelers for other jobs.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just done.
They were
a depleted team to begin with. I mean, he didn't start with anything, you know?
But he brought 70 guys in from the transfer portal. Yeah. I mean, it's not like he started with the worst roster in America. I mean,
no,
Mac
not at
Brown,
all.
I mean, say what you will about the end, the way Mac Brown's tenure ended or whatever, but he didn't, like, tank the program or anything.
He's got two quarterbacks that I'd love to have. Max Johnson, the kid from Texas A&M, Brad Johnson's son, and then Gio Lopez. Who I thought was going to be better than what he was, but he got beat Max for the starting job. But it's not really the players.
No.
Look at the coaching staff that
he
built.
It's the structure.
Like these guys have no college experience. And like, you know, Hulu had a contract where they were going to do like a Hard Knocks type thing, filming them all season.
Yes.
Right.
Well, they nixed that. Apparently there's a ton of footage. The players are getting in fights in the locker room. Coaches are getting in fights with each other.
Think about that first game with all the outsiders there. You know,
the TCU game. Michael Jordan was there.
Well, don't forget
it
started with
LT.
His girl. Remember all the shit at the very beginning of the fall, during summer, when his wife and or his girlfriend or whatever, all that crap was going on in the locker room and. It's been a mess.
And you want to talk about somebody whose legacy has done a complete flip-flop, like, of the way that he's thought of. It's crazy. I mean, what, you think they're going to take him back in the NFL? Like, the Falcons wouldn't hire him.
Right.
Before this,
no.
The right. Falcons wouldn't hire
him.
Well,
they wouldn't hire him because he comes in for the interview talking about how he's going to clear house in the front office and get all his people in. He wanted the general manager job.
Right.
So, obviously, the guys in the front office are like, no.
Probably not.
I mean, I think he's gotten to the point in his life where he's been so successful that he's not going to listen to secondary advice from any human being.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
And besides James Franklin, the only other coach I'm thinking that could be on the hot seat is Hugh Freeze down there at Auburn, because they were expected to do better than they are, even though they have a decent defense. Guess who's the defensive coordinator down there?
They'd be stupid.
DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
And guess what? I have a feeling towards the end of the year, he will be the head coach at Auburn.
Did you see whose
and
name?
They will do that for the Iron Bowl. You wait and see.
Has been popping up to replace Hugh Freeze.
Who's that?
Mr. Scott Satterfield. Auburn fans.
Bring him on.
Auburn fans are one Scotty. That's what beating Kansas will do for you, boys.
I love it.
I guess. I mean, now, and I was going to quickly touch on that Cincinnati-Iowa State game because it had all the makings of a classic Satterfield game.
Right.
We were talking about it on our text thread, and, you know, Cincinnati gets out to a huge lead.
And the spread was weird on that game to begin with. What?
And 3.5.
Sorsby played great, but then at the end of the first, the very end of the first half, Iowa State scored that touchdown. I sent out a text. I said, this is the touchdown that starts the inevitable collapse.
I live bet him and won $100.
And
saved my day.
Here came Iowa State. Now, to Cincinnati's credit, they held on, and that was a huge win for them.
Right.
And, I mean, they're right in the thick of things, honestly.
Who they got next week?
Oh, who they got this week?
Or that's what I'm saying, this week.
I'm taking them this week. Dude.
No. Satterfield's going to drop a stinker.
Well, I get it, but
they play Central Florida.
That's right.
They're
and
at home.
I like Cincinnati in that game.
Yeah, I only look at Central Florida when they're at the bounce house.
Right.
That's it.
I'm telling you, I think they're going to win that game this weekend.
Well, they should win that game.
They definitely should. I've watched way more UCF football than most people would, just because Jen's nephew goes there and Taven Jackson is the starting quarterback.
But that quarterback is really playing good. He is playing good.
He's been hurt a couple of times, but I still like Cincinnati to win that game. We'll get into that.
We'll get in. What other game
later?
You got on there?
Wanted to talk quickly about Miami and Florida State.
Florida State, yeah. Well, Miami did what?
You know, Florida State is a total fraud. Just like Tuna called. Tuna said at the beginning of the season, he said it would not surprise me if Florida State is unranked at the end of the year.
Right.
And
well, they were unranked at the beginning of the season. Like, I don't. I mean, you're talking about after they beat Bama.
Yeah.
After they beat Bama. Yeah. I don't buy Florida State at all.
And you know, Miami continues to look good.
Look great.
They're probably playing as well.
I haven't lost on them yet.
Just about
year.
As anybody. Speaking of someone who's playing as well as anybody in the country, Texas Tech in Houston. Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas
Tech—they're just better. Than
Houston. Texas Tech lost their running back for the season, Quentin Joyner.
Oh, see, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's out. Now, if you're going to lose a spot, running back is probably the spot to lose it for Texas Tech. I mean, granted, Quentin Joyner was a great player, but they've got guys that can fill that spot.
Right.
It's not like losing a top corner or a top offensive lineman. You know what I mean? But I think Texas Tech's built to compete for a national championship. Like I told you guys, man, I think I got a couple teams that have completely separated themselves, in my opinion. It's Ohio State, Miami, and Texas Tech right now. And there's some other teams that I feel like can get right up there with them. But
let's talk about a team that we all thought would be in that conversation before the season started, and have, along with Penn State, have absolutely not lived up to that thought process. That's Texas. We talked about it on the show last week that I said I would not be surprised if Florida won that game. Yeah. And I think a lot of people started coming around to that way of thinking at the end of the week, although you still had a lot of the SEC network
that was
people
a real
thinking
tricky,
that that wasn't going to happen.
Tricky game.
But, I mean...
Dude, Arch Manning did not play that bad in that game. I mean, if you look at his numbers and watch, so he did not play that bad. It's just the all these other skill positions that they had All-Americans at, they're not playing like they should.
I think their defense has been the
biggest
disappointment.
Really been a drop-off. I'm not sure what's going on there. They don't have that many injuries, and everybody has injuries.
Their running game is pretty bad.
Yeah, the running game's not there. It's just I don't know.
Yeah, there's something going on behind the scenes.
And then you got him saying, "Hey, well, Brent, name every school that plays Ohio State and Florida at Florida and Ohio State, and tell me what their record is." You know when coaches start getting backed into a corner and they start throwing out stuff. James Franklin, now he's doing it. Dabo, yeah.
Yeah,
it's just you almost feel like something else is going on.
Well, I think it's human nature to just start being snarky because these reporters, especially Texas reporters, like they just hound you with the same dumbass questions over and over again, and eventually you're going to be like, "Look, we answered this last week, Jerry," and it's
You know what? Those are two tough laws. I mean, when you go to the swamp, you know it's going to be tough. And losing to Ohio State 14-7, I mean,
if you're a
that Ohio State's probably the best team in the country right now.
If you're thought to have been a national championship contender or consider yourself that,
you got to take the heat.
But you also, this Florida team, you go down there and beat them.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact.
Right.
You have to go to Florida and
you ain't
win
gonna
that
let
game.
Little Billy Napier out coach you. Can't let that happen.
I love seeing Texas Florida fans start talking themselves into a 9-3 season.
Oh now. God, that's so great.
They're even gonna get more mad at Billy when he loses another game. I think it's gonna be hilarious.
Travis, are you gonna mention one more?
I've got a few up.
Oh,
more
okay.
I wanted
okay.
to mention. I wanted to talk about Mississippi State and Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's the one I want to talk about.
All right, Fred?
Well, I was saying all week or that Ole Miss might be the best team in the SEC. Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm going to tell you. And Tuna and I called this, and Travis, I guess you did too, but I know when we went through our picks in the SEC, in all conferences, who we thought was going to win –
I believe because I had them
I think
second.
We both had them 1 and 2. Yeah, Texas A&M.
I had
we
Bama,
were high,
then A&M.
And we were high on A&M. And I didn't have Bama up there.
I was not as high on A&M as you guys were.
But, dude, I'm telling you, A&M right now, 31-9. And I'm not saying that's a huge one or Mississippi State, but they, you know.
That's not a bad Mississippi State
team. They start off slow, too. Texas A&M starts off slow, and then they just get you at the end. That offensive line with all them seniors and the quarterback. The defense is playing great. That's what really is playing better than Ole Miss. Texas A&M's defense is really playing good. I think they're the best team in the SEC, and I think if you look back what Tuna and I were talking about at the beginning of the season, we kind of thought that.
I think that's
well.
Interesting because I think you flipped over this week because this week I put a list or I text in our text group what I thought the five best teams were, in my opinion, and I had Texas A&M
I
listed
put
on
Ole Miss there.
And you were like, I still got to see more from Texas A&M, and I'm like, all right.
And I put Ole Miss. I put Ole Miss above, but now I'm changing my tune after I've looked at footage before the show tonight. I was like looking at that game, and I'm like, dude, they are big boys.
Oh, Elko.
They're big boys. And Elko.
Elko's a fisherman.
Has really
He throws that
around.
Bait out there, like you said, and he starts slow. And
he
just kind of slowly works it.
He does.
And then you bite, and then next thing you know, you're coming into the boat fish.
Right.
And, like, you
can't
do nothing
like,
about it.
You're like, man, this Texas A&M, Mississippi State game's tight, looking good. And all of a sudden, before you know it, it's 31-9.
He lulls you into his trap And then he is just a master. I think Elko is one of the best coaches out there, man.
And I'm late to the party on him. Yeah. Trust me, you and I talked about that even at Duke, but I am really have a lot of respect for
when
that
you have
guy.
Success at Duke like he had.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Now he's got everything he needs.
Yeah.
You know.
He got definitely. More. I mean, you got more than what you need down there.
Coming into the season, it was like, all right, they're gonna win a lot of games and have a chance to win just based off of their defense and their running game. And then you got this passing game that just came out of nowhere.
Quarterback turned out to be
him and their wide receivers are great.
Wide receivers coming out of nowhere, but Concepcion's awesome.
Yeah.
Then you got the other one. That's
I remember
great.
When he committed there, I was like, man, that poor guy. All he's going to do is block downfield because he was so good at NC State.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, it's a bad place to transfer to. Well, I'm a dumbass because I don't know. I think that team's just got really no holes in it.
And what an interesting game coming up. Of course, they're at home versus Florida, one of my locks of the week. But they've got Florida, Arkansas at Arkansas. Not worried about that. LSU at LSU, which can always be tough. Missouri,
oh, yeah.
South Carolina, Samford, and then Texas. I see them in the SEC championship. Like
I mean,
you
there's
said,
maybe
too.
One loss in there.
Yeah. Maybe LSU
maybe
at
LSU,
LSU but –
No, that'll
I
probably be a
better.
Night game.
I bet it will be. Yeah. But I see they're better than them. I mean,
they're better than them, but things happen there.
I know.
You can get
an injury or something big, but they are playing solid both sides of the ball, whereas Ole Miss is not.
And the last two things we'll touch on before we get to the big game from last week, at least for us. Is the local teams last week. We're not going
to
spend a lot of time talking about Kentucky.
Mm.
They went to Georgia and got thoroughly dominated.
Yeah.
They were never in that game. They scored at the very end.
Stoops got mad. He got backed in the corner too. I'm not going anywhere.
they're just running in place on a treadmill right now. They're not going anywhere. And then – a game that was super entertaining, I would imagine, if you were not a fan of either team, you just wanted to watch like a close, crazy game. Louisville and Virginia. Virginia comes in ranked like 24th in the country
Louisville. They're a bad football team.
Yeah. Like,
they're not good.
They certainly did not appear to be anything special from my viewing of the ball game.
Not a good football team. I'm going to say this every week, and Louisville fans, I'm talking to you, your quarterback sucks and your offensive line sucks and you're not going to win games like that if you can't get any kind of decent play from both of those units. And,
I've never seen a quarterback so up and so down
in
a game.
It's so bad. Well,
a lot of times it's in a series.
It's the craziest thing ever.
Here's the big thing. Our two running backs, not just the two, the three, they're all hurt. We talk about this multiple times.
Yeah.
They're not themselves.
No.
If those guys, you take their speed away, you take that away, and that would open things up for Miller-Moss a little bit.
For sure.
But still, man, some of the bonehead decisions for a guy that's been in college that long makes – it's just so damn frustrating.
And Brom's about at the end of his rope.
Oh, you can tell in his press conferences,
dude. He has all those very thinly veiled
shots. Who is your backup?
Deuce Adams, okay? And I love this kid. I want him to get some playing time because I think next year – no, we got him as a freshman. He's been there. This is his third year there. He's a redshirt sophomore.
Wow.
So – I'd like to see him because I think we're going to go with him next year instead of bringing in a transfer. And I think that, you know what I mean? That's a long way away. But he seems to be the guy. The coaching staff absolutely loves him. And I'll tell you right now, he knows the playbook better than Miller-Moss.
It sure sounds like it.
Dude, and your defense is playing good football.
How come you cannot match these things up each year. You know, you either have a good offense and a terrible defense, or a really good defense and a bad offense.
Right.
And
your
that
defense is playing their asses off.
They really are. Credit to Ron English, man, a guy who was on the hot seat last year. And,
and the year before, he was coach assistant of the year. The
Broyles Award winner, yeah. It's crazy, man. But there's just nothing really to look forward to this year. There's still a shot that we make the Pop-Tart Bowl. My hope is
I mean, dude, you all have a good record, though.
Yeah, but the thing is Clemson is probably going to get the Pop-Tart Bowl over us because their fans travel better.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. My hope is that Miller Moss is watching game film these next 2 weeks getting ready for Miami, and he just says, you know what? I don't want to play football anymore. So those guys are going to kill me down there, so I'm out. Like, I think that's the best option for all of us. Him, us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just don't want you to have to live through however many more 6 weeks of this.
Man, it's so damn brutal, Travis. Like,
no, you don't have to tell me about watching brutal football.
Well, the thing is, it's good football. It's just bad quarterback play.
Right,
and then watching your offensive line
just
get punked over and over again absolutely sucks.
And just,
but your quarterback, just
the
whole team to keep you in a game and give you a chance to win. And then,
and on third down, you're on the ground and you try to throw the ball.
Now, he should have been down on that because his wrist was down.
But you still don't throw the ball.
What?
We watched a game later on that night, and your forearm has to be down. We thought that was a bad call, but another play just happened.
It was
after that.
And when I saw that, the first one you're talking about, my initial thought was,
your hands.
His wrist is down. I saw that same thing. I turned the TV up.
It was another game.
And they brought in the rules guy, and he said, they just changed that rule.
Okay.
Yeah. Forearm.
It's like when the shin touches the ground. It's like, I don't know how people's shin touch the ground before.
It doesn't bend.
I don't understand, but anyway.
Right.
They said now the wrist and hand is considered an extension of the football.
So he would have been better off just – I don't know.
It was in the Bama game was when that happened.
Yep.
And then they called the rule. They said, your forearm has to be down. We're
like,
there you go.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's frustrating.
That's frustrating.
I hope you boys enjoyed El Paso last year because we're going back to the Sun Bowl, I bet.
And speaking of the
y'all are on a bye, right?
Yeah.
Is Louisville on a bye?
Yeah, 2 weeks to get our new quarterback
and then
ready
Friday,
for Miami.
Friday, Miami.
They play Miami a week from Friday.
It's Friday night,
Clayton's got a soccer tournament that week in town. He's got a 5:30 game on Friday. I'm like, no way. What are the odds?
Well, the game
starts at 7:30.
I know. 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I know. Well, you know, I'm a pre-gamer.
Well, let's talk about.
Not gonna be much to see there. Dude.
Let's talk about the Bama game, Fred. Let's talk about Vandy and Bama. I'll give you my thoughts quickly on it. I know you have way more in depth consideration to it than I do. I, of course, watched it very closely with my buddy Joe, who's Vandy through and through, Vandy grad, and I really thought that the entire game flipped on two plays. Two plays that...
Two interceptions.
That you live with... Well, one was
one
a fumble.
One interception. A fumble, right.
Yeah, Pavi, a fumble. Like, that drive, they looked like the greatest offense of all time and got right down there to the, whatever it was, 15, 20-yard line. Pavi turns it over. Then he throws the pick later on the ball game. Those two plays, I'm not going to say that Vandy was going to win, but even as it was a 7-point game late in the fourth quarter, which I had said from a Vanderbilt perspective, I think all you can ask for is, and I'm not talking about the bravado of Pavia going to play.
No, but the first downs were 33-26. Vandy got their share of first downs.
Well,
dude,
the first half they were moving the ball up and down like easy.
Right. Well, second half they had 9 yards.
And then
yards.
in the second half it was and I think a lot of that had to do with I thought the play calling totally changed.
So did our defensive play calling.
I also thought Pavia, for the first time maybe that I've ever seen, started doubting himself a little bit.
I agree.
And
he just had that dazed look on his face.
when you're that guy, you can't play football that way. You have to play football like I'm the greatest college football player that ever lived, like he usually does. And I thought that those mistakes he made early, I thought the coaches then were a little bit more conservative with him in the second half. He certainly was not his usual bravado.
That can crush a team when you drive all the way down the field and can't get anything from it.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, no, we can't score in the red zone. You know what's funny? Bama did the same thing. Hey, we went down the field twice and marched down like we were the Kansas City Chiefs, and we came away with two field goals and one missed one. So we didn't – the red zone in both for both teams was not what it was. Now, the second half, I will give Kane Womack, who I've given no credit to, the whole year. But last game and this game, he has made some really good adjustments at halftime. And but dude, I'll tell you a big stat, Travis, that stood out to me was time of possession. 40 minutes to 22. When you keep Pavia on the sidelines, you're winning.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was the biggest thing, was watching him over there. He whatnot. We would took off down the field, and he could not get in the game. That's how you beat Vandy. You don't have that badass kid on the field. But I do think that let's give Ty Simpson some credit, who's shooting up the Heisman boards. That kid has pocket poise right now. And might be playing better than anybody in the country. The little moves that he makes when he's running out of the pocket, and instead of continuing to run and outrun someone and run out of bounds, he's got these savvy moves where he stops, lets the lineman run past him, who's about 380, and then he makes the pass down the middle of the field. He is making great decisions with the ball. I mean,
great on third down. Right, he had a lot of big plays on third down.
And another thing is, I wanted us to continue running the ball, and finally I was talking to my buddy Bama Jalen, like, dude, everybody's wide open. Keep throwing the ball. I mean, he was on the money. He has trouble throwing on the run, which he did a lot at Florida State. He was on the run the whole time. He has to set his feet. And when he does, he makes a beautiful pass. But our receiver stepped up. I want to give credit, just a quick shout-out to John Jefferson, who I thought was the player of the game on the field besides Simpson, and our running back, Jam Miller, who had 130 yards. It proves that we needed him versus Florida State. I think that helps us big time. But Pierre and this young guy coming up for us that's actually starting to chase the quarterback around, and John Jefferson on our linebacker, who's kind of taken over for Deontay Lawson after his injury. He's just not the same guy out there, number zero. But I thought they played great. Sab is healthy. He got the interception, transfer from Michigan. So it's just another week for us. Now we got Missouri. And I'm happy with the win. Happy with the win.
I think one of the things I took away, they took Eli Stowers pretty much completely out of the game.
Yes, they did.
And I talk about Bama's receivers, you know, with Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams. Horton. Yeah, Isaiah Horton.
Horton from Miami.
That kid, I think he's got tons of skill. Yeah. He's amazing. Like I said, man, I was high on Bama. I don't know what happened in that Florida State game in week one, but they're settling in now. And I think they're going to be playing in Atlanta. Is that where the SEC championship is again?
I do not. It's either Atlanta or.
It's usually always in Atlanta.
Yeah, Nash Vegas, one or the other.
I don't think they've ever played
Nashville.
It's in Atlanta or New Orleans.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about then. That gets us through all the big games from last week. Let's look ahead to a real interesting slate of ball games this week. Now, I'm just going to – if you guys have a game that I don't touch on, please speak out. I'm just going to kind of go down the top 25 matchups or teams in the top 25 that are in intriguing games. We can kind of touch on a few of those. LSU is playing a night game at home against South Carolina. I would assume we all think that LSU is going to relatively easily. I mean, nothing's easy, but probably that's a 9-point spread. Georgia travels to Auburn, and Fred, this would be a game that Hugh Freeze. It would behoove Hugh Freeze to have a big win in a ball game
This is going to be, in my opinion, this game is going to be close.
Totally agree.
And if Georgia comes out of there whooping them by more than 2 touchdowns, I will be surprised because you know what happens.
The spread's only 3.5.
Oh, I know, and they know it too. Yeah. When you go to the Plains at night, like I said, unicorns fall from the sky. And, dude, and let me tell you something. There ain't no better place like Penn State at night on a whiteout. LSU, Baton Rouge, T-Town, wherever, Ohio State. Well, I'm telling you, Auburn at night is – put it on your bucket list because it's hard to win out there at nighttime. I'm telling you.
Was this the oldest rivalry in sports or something?
Yeah, oldest rivalry. Yep. And this is where he's going to pull out every bell and whistle. And Kirby knows he is. He knows he's going to have a couple tricks.
Let's talk about Auburn for a second, because like we just talked in our last little segment about Hugh Freeze being on the hot seat. This is a 3-2 team that I think is playing better than I thought they were going into the year. I believe that.
I'm with
I don't think any team wants to play Auburn. Like, I really don't.
I agree. I don't want to play when I have them beat.
Well, that's
this
a rivalry
year.
Game. I understand your aspect. But no team out there wants to play Auburn.
And don't
forget,
they beat a 4-1.
Hugh Freeze is a nightmare to coach against because he's gimmicky as hell.
Right, and they beat a 4-1 TCU team who's still playing pretty good right now, beginning of the year. I'm with you. That game's going to be tricky.
Tuna, would you rather face trying to hire prostitutes on the road, Hugh Freeze, or Bible study, Hugh Freeze?
Coaching from a hospital bed during a bowl game for Hugh Freeze. that's the one.
That's the right answer.
He's a man of many hats.
That is.
Let's see. We briefly talked about Texas A&M playing Florida. Now they are at home. That's a night game at A&M. Mm. That spread's 7.5. You guys think that's about right?
I'm not doing anything with or against Florida right now, betting wise.
Because
I don't think you know what you're going to. I think Billy's throwing the kitchen sink out all over the place.
Why wouldn't he?
I do too.
Yeah. Like, he's got nothing to lose and he's just going crazy. I think Texas A&M wins this game. They could win by 25, they could win by 2. Nothing's going to surprise
Florida's
me.
Florida's defense is playing well, but I'm going to tell you, in this one, I've been saying it with other games like Miami when we talk about them. At the fourth quarter, they're going to win, and they're going to win by probably 14. I've said a lot of the Miami games would be tight in the first half, but when it comes down to that fourth quarter, the teams that are really good, like we're saying that A&M and Miami and Ohio State are playing as good as anybody. In the fourth quarter, those teams know how to close.
Yeah.
So I think Florida is giving it everything they got, but I think that's too much to handle out there at A&M. That's asking a lot.
And
I'm with you.
We talked about Bobby Petrino earlier. He gets his first shot as Bobby 2.0 here for Arkansas. At Tennessee, 4:15 on Saturday. That spreads Tennessee by 12.5.
I think the Vols are going to win this by 30 or 40 points.
Tennessee coming off a bye.
This is going to be an absolute mess for Arkansas. Like, Bobby's got his work cut out for him, and Bobby might be coaching a UFL team next year if he's lucky. So, I don't know.
Bring him home.
Yeah.
Bring him home.
Bobby 3.0.
Bring him home.
Yeah, there's going to be way better games than that.
Which we certainly are going to talk about that at the end of the program. Yeah. Don't think I've forgotten about that. The
Louisville DraftKings.
Yeah. Oh, damn right.
Another game that obviously – what do they call it now? The Red River
Rivalry.
They don't call it the shootout anymore. That's this weekend, 3:30.
It's too much to say.
This game is going to be interesting. It really is.
Texas.
This is going to be a close game.
Here's what's interesting. Texas is still a point and a half favorite.
Right.
In this game.
Right.
And they're unranked. Oklahoma is ranked sixth. They play it at the Cotton Bowl, right?
And don't forget Oklahoma's quarterback that right. is leading the Heisman Trophy front running is out.
Do you think that is enough of a factor to make Texas the actual favorite in this game? Because I was surprised by that.
I think
Oklahoma's defense alone is enough to make this game tight.
Right, this game could.
I thought Oklahoma would be favored by 3 points.
This game could end in a tie.
Even without the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
I thought they could be favored by
3 points. But Oklahoma's defensive line is going to win this game. Do you think?
I think they're going to make it a close game. I could see Sark getting this one.
I could too.
Like
I'm not touching this game.
Yeah, I think you'd be crazy to put any money on this game.
I totally agree with that.
And the under-over is 43.5.
I mean, this could be a standalone game with like the only game on TV, and I wouldn't bet it.
This could be like a 14-12 game.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Ohio State-Texas game, 14-7. I could see something like that happening in this game. Oklahoma's defensive line is playing so good.
Yeah. Good thing is like whoever loses can walk right out to the fair and
Texas
get a deep fried ravioli.
Right. Hey, Texas is reeling. And they're, you know, this is their rival. They're going to be ready.
Notre Dame is at home against NC State. They're favored by 22.5. Ole Miss is at home to Washington State. They're favored by 32.
Like, come on, baby. Washington State's not that bad.
32.5 is a lot of points.
It is.
Yeah.
I see a couple other conference games that I really like. That are
now Washington State may be flying on Spirit or Allegiant Airlines.
They likely are.
Yeah, so
they may be on the Cleveland Indians Express.
Not to mention, you got to take like a 4-hour bus ride from Pullman, Washington, to get to an airport.
Right.
So it's
there's a really good. Well, I know there's one Big Ten game that I love, but there's a couple. Big Ten games that look pretty good out there.
We'll probably get to those. Right now, we're just doing top 25. Georgia Tech, 14.5-point favorite against Va Tech at home.
Could be my lock.
I don't know, dude.
I love
it. I feel like every Georgia Tech game seems close as hell. No matter who they're playing, they're close.
They never blow anybody out.
No, they really don't. It's just
Virginia Tech is one of them teams that fired their coach, and they're really not doing much.
They played great the week after they fired him.
Yeah, I think they played a bottom feeder though.
Either way, they were getting beat by bottom feeders when they before they fired him.
I don't know. I like Georgia Tech coming off a bye week on this.
Yeah, it's tough to take Georgia Tech to cover when they're not an underdog.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I know. I'll look at that one.
Hang on, my
I've already
screen
it,
just
so.
Reset here. the first Big Ten game that we will talk about, it is a top 25 matchup, which is weird because I think a lot of people don't consider Illinois being a top 25 team just because they got slaughtered by IU. But they're ranked 17th. They are at home.
I'm actually excited about this game.
I am too. I think this is a tricky little game.
It's
to be
a nooner.
With you.
It's a nooner.
Ohio State loves playing at noon. I don't think Ohio State's going to drum Illinois like you all did.
Not at all.
Like how you did. And that game was at IU. This game's at Illinois. I'm not saying that stadium gets absolutely wild and crazy, but
it can be a tough
game. It'll be insane for Ohio State. You got the number one team in the nation coming in. It's going to be wild.
I think Illinois is going to score at least 21 points in this game.
Ooh.
17.
They're a 14 point underdog.
I think they're going to put points on the board. I think Ohio State's going to have to show that they can score more than they are. As good as they're playing, 14-7 over Texas, don't look that good. They haven't really – I mean, hell, they didn't even beat Washington that bad. I mean, they scored, 30 on them, which you would think that a good Ohio State team would put more points on the board on that one. I don't know.
I am intrigued by that game.
I could see this game being like 34-21, something like that. I think Illinois is going to score.
I think it could be very low scoring, and if anybody's going to put up a lot of points, it's going to be because Ohio State's better than we think. But I think it's going to be a slog fest.
Okay. Like, I think that Illinois quarterback. And you're right. That Illinois quarterback don't have much to throw to. He don't have many weapons.
Don't understand how Ohio State had one of the best defenses I think I've ever seen last year, and they look as good this year.
Well, they have the best player in the country, in my opinion, on offense and defense.
There's no doubt, but
and he controls that whole defense.
And that quarterback Julian Sand just is impressive as hell. He just doesn't really make mistakes. Right. I don't know. He's kind of perfect for Ohio State.
Intriguing game to keep an eye on.
And
for sure.
Here's another Big Ten game of some interest. Michigan traveling out to L.A. to play Southern Cal.
Yeah.
Both of them 4-1. Southern Cal is a 2.5-point favorite in this one.
I tell you, if you watch both these teams play and there was no numbers next to their name, and you tell me one of them is 15th, I would think USC would be the 15th ranked and Michigan would be the unranked team.
Right.
I think USC looks like a much better team than Michigan.
They do.
I mean, it's not really close.
They've got great wide receivers. I can see USC. Michigan's not playing bad, though. They're not playing bad now that they've gotten their coaching situation.
I think they're like we've said it. Biff was they were better with Biff.
They
Sharon
beat Nebraska,
Moore,
right?
They struggled last week.
Who'd they play last week? Who was that, Travis?
They played last week. I watched that game.
Yeah.
They played Wisconsin, and it was close at halftime.
Yeah.
And they pulled away
at the end.
They won 24-10.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
Wisconsin covered.
Wisconsin's trying.
Maybe Sharon Moore just, said, hey, Biff, take over at halftime.
But USC, I don't know. The quarterback's playing good for USC. Now, their defense is not playing very good, USC's. But the quarterback and the two wide receivers are money for USC right now. They've got a couple badass wide receivers.
Oh, that quarterback's great.
Yeah. So I would take USC on this one. And it's going to be – that game's going to be tight, too. I can see it 24-21 in the fourth quarter.
And that is a 7:30 game. That's the NBC big Saturday night game or whatever for Big Ten. Freddie, Bama, looking to back up the big win against Vandy, traveling to Missouri. Bama is a 3-point favorite. That is also a nooner on ABC.
Right. That's at noon. That should be a damn night game.
I know it. For Bama, it's 11 o'clock.
For Missouri, yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't like that time frame at all. And that's why the spread is what it is.
Wasn't the Florida State game at noon?
Nah.
It was in the afternoon.
No.
3:30
game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Ohio State was the noon game, and then Bama, Florida State, 3:30.
Mississippi or Missouri has beaten UMass, the Gamecocks, Kansas. But they're top five in rushing and receiving. So they haven't beat anybody, but they do have weapons on offense all over the place. I think that our defense has cleaned things up a little. I mean, I still think Vandy marched down the field on us. We're lucky to have some interceptions and fumbles and things like that, turnovers. But I don't know. Hardy's got 9 touchdowns. He's going to be tough to
he's
stop.
Incredible.
He's going to be really that is the
but
game in a nutshell right there.
No, if he's
can
gonna,
we stop him?
You guys do better with guys that run between tackles. And I feel like you guys should be pretty good with Hardy.
Right.
That's not to say Hardy won't have 100 yards probably, you know.
Right.
But
Vandy went right between our tackles and scored a touchdown.
And
I don't know how it happened. But
before that,
the way our defense played in the first half, that's how it was set up. The second half, we changed it.
And I don't think Vandy ran for as much as what you think they did against you guys. I think it stood out a little bit more because you were angry.
And that long run.
Yeah.
That was a long run.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. Dinkenschnitz, I love him. I love to hate him, but I love him too. And this team's going to play dirty. They're going to – not dirty in a bad way, but they're just – they're going to be real physical. We're going to need the ice bath after this one.
His name is being thrown around for the Florida job.
Yeah. But anyways, not to spend a lot of time on it, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. It's an early game at Missouri. I could see them up 14-0 in the first quarter. You never know.
Yeah, I think this is...
But I think our quarterback's playing really, really good, and that makes me feel good. And our running game, we've got the running game back. If we are balanced, I'm happy, and we're tackling good. We don't have all that confusion from the sidelines anymore. I don't know. Lay the football down and play. I don't know if y'all have an opinion on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think...
it's kind of a weird game.
On the road at Missouri is going to be tough. That is a kind of a rowdy place. It sucks that it's at noon. It's probably good for Bama that it's at noon.
I was hoping y'all would come over and watch it with me. Bama and Jay.
This is probably the second biggest test of the year for Bama. Honestly, it's probably the biggest test of the year because I think Missouri's better than Georgia. Right. I'm not big on Georgia, man.
And I don't want to look ahead to Tennessee next week.
No, that's the thing.
That's a payback game.
That's the thing.
I hope they're not looking at that.
God, that game's going to be so fun next week. Yeah. But anyway, not to jump ahead.
I got my cigar ready.
Let's talk about there's a game Friday night that is
Rocky Top.
Very intriguing.
Dude, and I love this one.
Number 24 USF at 4-1, traveling down to Texas to take on the Mean Green of North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
North Texas,
North Dallas 40,
actually getting a point and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Game, right?
Yeah, yeah. My gut tells me that South Florida is going to win this and win it.
Coming off a bye, right?
Yeah.
I think they're coming off a bye.
Yeah, and I when I say convincingly, I mean more than one score.
I know. I'm worried. I want to take Texas, North Texas, so bad because I've won on them 3 times this year.
Uh-huh.
But I'm with you.
Yeah.
I just think that South Florida is a dirty old team.
Byron Brown is just a blast to watch.
They're
play,
putting
man.
Points and on the board fast. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I love their coach.
Do you think North Texas has that big defense? I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I think they beat up on other teams, and they have. But if I was leaning on anything, and I'm probably going to lean to South Florida on this one.
Yeah, I think if you have to bet this game, like you just absolutely are dying and be like, I can't watch football without putting money on it.
Right.
I would bet on South
but
Florida.
But I can't wait to watch this game.
No, it's going to be a great game to watch.
Lots of green. I'm going to be wearing green on
Friday.
There
is a very green game.
Yeah.
I hope the field is, they make it like blue or something, like Boise State.
Well, fellas, that brings us to the marquee game of Saturday.
And it is. What? It is.
Which Kansas, is, Texas Tech? Is that is, the what you're talking about?
No, we're not. We're not spending any time on that game.
Okay.
Texas Tech.
Well, you said marquee game. It threw me off for a second.
Yeah.
who'd you say to?
Don't worry about it. We're talking about the big
Forget
game
it.
Now.
I know. I'm pumped.
3:30 at Autzen Stadium. Out in Oregon, your number 7 Indiana Hoosiers travel out to Oregon. Both teams 5-0. Oregon opened as a 10.5-point favorite. The line has dropped to 7.5.
Dropped 3 points.
Which, I mean, I don't really care. I got it at 10.5. But you know, some of the early money is coming in on IU. I'm always more interested on what the late money does. Here's where I'm at with this game. I think Oregon is a tremendous football team, and they present some unique challenges to Indiana that they haven't seen yet this season. I do like the fact that Indiana has already played a conference game on the road in a rowdy, tough environment at Iowa.
Yes.
And they hopefully are able to go back and, I mean, it helps the players now know they can win a game like that.
That quarterback at Iowa? He played in that game, right?
Yeah, he got hurt like the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gronowski. Okay.
Yeah, he got hurt at the very end.
Okay.
If you listen to the podcast, you would hear that.
Yeah. Well, I missed it this week. I'll get on it.
Well, it was 2 weeks
going.
Ago.
I was just wanting to make sure they were full blast.
But
because I missed that game.
This is going to be a completely different game, obviously.
Oh, totally.
Because I feel like, you know, what I talked about that I thought was so impressive with how Indiana played at Iowa was I felt like Indiana kind of beat Iowa playing like Iowa, which is not how they want to play. Indiana would much rather play in the style of Oregon of stretching the field, getting the running game going, being aggressive on defense, taking advantage of your speed. So I think this is going to be a much more, I'm not going to say advantageous matchup, because clearly Oregon is a vastly superior team to Iowa. But do you understand what I'm saying? That from a matchup perspective,
yes,
I almost feel like that the way Oregon plays helps Indiana a lot more than the way Iowa played. And I expect this game to be very close. I expect it to go into the fourth quarter as a, you know, one-score game, and I look for the winner. I'll give a prediction at the very end of the show, but I look for this game to probably finish in the one-score, one way or the other, you know, going one score one way or the other, which I'll say who I think will win at the end of the show. But I'm curious to hear what you guys, because I'm too close to it.
Right.
You know, I'm a nervous wreck just thinking about this game.
I think we got some interesting things to say.
So here's what I want to turn it over to you guys and hear what you guys think about this.
I mean, obviously you got two of the best coaches in college football, and it's because they don't make mistakes. They got their teams so disciplined.
Right.
I've touched on Oregon. I've touched on IU multiple times during this season about how you watch those games and there's so few penalties and everybody just kind of plays their role perfectly. And I'm curious to see how they fill each other out at the beginning. What's going to be the initial game plan, how each you know, sideline adjusts. It's going to be wild to see.
IU can't get behind early like they did against Notre Dame and Ohio State last year.
And those teams, I think, were a little bit more physical, Ohio State and Notre Dame, than what Oregon brings to the table.
And Indiana is much bigger and more physical than they were last year.
So that's the double – you know, right there.
That's why they went out and got bigger and more physical, because they said the two teams that could manhandle us did.
Yeah,
right.
Travis, exactly.
Who did y'all play in the playoff? Refresh my memory.
Notre Dame.
Okay. Would you say that was the biggest game in IU history?
Well, certainly.
It was the playoff. Yeah,
well, I'm going to tell you right now. You said that IU Illinois was one of the biggest games in IU history, and I'm going to tell you right now.
It was the biggest home game.
Biggest home game. Yes. I'm going to tell you right now. This is the biggest game, in my opinion. Maybe not against Notre Dame in the playoff, but the next biggest game in Notre Dame history is this Saturday.
In IU history.
IU history. I'm not trying to pump it up too much, but my eyes will be glued to the TV, because if IU gets this win, if you think you got people's attention in a beatdown of Illinois, when you go to a team that is the next team, that is besides Penn State, who is now faltering, the team in the last 10, 15 years knocking on the door to win a national championship that hasn't gotten it is Oregon. Okay, they've been there every freaking year, and now they got their coach, they got their easy schedule, which I think is the easiest in the country, besides maybe Ole Miss and Missouri and Ohio State. But I'm going to tell you, This game is huge. If IU comes out beating Oregon and Dan Lanning on the road, I think it's the biggest win that IU's had. And you want to talk about getting people's attention. When you beat Oregon, who's ranked third, who just went to Penn State and blew that, this is a huge, could be a huge win. And just the way Oregon plays, their offense, they're, like Tuna said, they're well coached, but they're a team that just kind of at home just dominates you eventually. And for IU to go there and win is something that's just never happened. Like, IU has been down here at the bottom. Oregon has been at the top. And Oregon's never gotten that championship. You all can literally take that away from them. And to have you all move up, this will put you all in great company. I just think it's a huge game.
Well,
huge.
Yes, it clearly is. But
and you all haven't had a matchup against a team like this, except, and of course, Ohio State, Michigan. I get it, but this is a game that's just different for IU.
But I also don't think that, especially a close loss. I don't think a loss at
takes
Indiana out of the
not at all.
And I don't think if Indiana beats Oregon, I don't think it at all. Because I think Oregon will win the rest of their ball game.
And they may, but I'm just saying
you're going to see a three-loss team make the playoffs this year. Maybe two or three of them.
Right.
I mean, honestly, it's wide open. So this game, although it does have playoff implications, I don't think the loser of this game, whether it's IU or Oregon,
it's
put out.
Right.
But I think IU's got more dudes, believe it or not, than Oregon does.
I do, too.
Like, I really do.
I do, too.
I just don't.
I just hope they.
I don't know. It just sucks that this is at Autzen because longest home winning streak, just insane environment. Like,
you don't want it to turn into the Ohio State game last year.
No, and I don't think it will. I don't think this Oregon team is close to what Ohio State was.
I think Sig has learned from both of those games. And I think he's ready for this. I really do.
Couple of interesting little trivia notes. You know, Oregon has yet to lose a league game since they've been in the Big Ten.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you know who the last Big Ten team was to beat Oregon at Oregon?
Ohio State.
I'm going to guess IU.
Jerry DiNardo's Indiana team in 2004.
Wow.
Come on, he wouldn't have brought that up if it wasn't IU. Come on, Fred.
Well, I know, but I do remember Oregon, Ohio State playing at the beginning of the year in a few years ago in a huge game. It was like 1-2.
That probably wasn't at Oregon,
right? It was. I think it was at Ohio State. Yeah,
or it could have been at the Enormo Dome for the preseason kickoff.
I love the Enormo Dome.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But
one
dude,
of my
that's
favorite venues.
How many times are you going to throw DiNardo on us? That's like the third time you've thrown DiNardo.
I think that was at least the second time that I've talked about that particular game.
He was
game.
A little old Clemson too, wasn't he? Or LSU.
He was at LSU. He was
gotta
at Vandy,
DiNardo.
LSU,
right.
And IU.
Said you got to love DiNardo.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's going to be an – to your point, Fred, I do think that at least in the short term, from an Indiana perspective, if they would happen to win that game, it immediately becomes the biggest win. Like, I would put it up there, and I know for anybody listening except for my dad, I would put it up there with beating Purdue in the last game of the season in 1967 to send IU to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
You know, because if Indiana happens to win this game, the path to playing in the conference championship game is right there.
Right, and you all have a very good schedule, too. I'm not saying easy, but you all have a schedule that's not
they don't have to play
totally
Ohio State.
Killing you. Yeah,
you don't have to play
I would
Ohio
say
State.
You all have
Penn
one of
State
the...
isn't what we thought Penn State
right,
was going
right.
to be. So, I mean, there's so much kind of, excitement and thoughts going into this game, and I'm going to save my prediction on that game until the very end of the show when we go around the room. Was there any other games, guys?
Well, yeah. I know we got a big SEC honk and a Big Ten honk over here, so, like, some of those smaller conferences like the Big 12, we got massive games, late night games. You got BYU going to the desert, undefeated BYU going to the 4-1 Arizona to play down there at night. And then, well, it's midday out there in Arizona.
But we'll be watching at night. And then
Arizona State going to Utah.
Both,
I mean, that's a 10:30 kick, 10:15 kick. So, like, huge conference implications in that. I think the Big 12, again, is the most intriguing conference.
It is.
Because you have Texas Tech, I think, is head and shoulders above everybody. Who's going to play them in that championship game?
Well, I've got,
hell, there's like five teams.
No, I've got them all here. BYU, Texas Tech, Arizona State. Iowa State is 5-1. Cincy is 5-1. Baylor 4-2. There's a lot. I mean,
these
Arizona
teams have been winning their non-conference games too. The Big 12 is catching a lot of shit.
There's only four bad teams in the Big 12.
I agree. I mean, that's a damn good conference.
And I'm going to tell you what, the Big 10 has shut me up a little bit. I've noticed that the Big 10 doesn't have so many bottom feeders anymore either, because of what Maryland, Nebraska, Washington, USC are all doing. You know, Purdue scoring more points, but Wisconsin, Northwestern. I'm just saying, I'm giving more credit to the Big Ten than I was. They don't have so many bottom feeders like I thought they did this year so far. So far. I went through all the conferences and started writing down the good and the bad. You know, SEC, Florida, Arkansas, and Kentucky. But Florida just beat Texas, so you know what I mean? But you're right, the Big 12 is wide open.
Yes, it is.
any other games, guys?
No, I mean, Freddie will be crushing Utah State, Hawaii, too. Last game of the night, but doesn't have – Hawaii's 4-1, and they're 3-2.
Is that like a 1 a.m. kick?
That one is 11:50.
Cubs.
Okay.
Travis, 11:59.
There you go. There you go. Does anybody want to talk at all about the NFL?
No. Nope. We got a football or a baseball game here in 28 minutes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So suck it, NFL.
Suck it, NFL. We'll get to
it. It was a terrible week in the NFL. That's all it needs to be
Colts
said.
The Colts are dominating. Yeah, what else do you want to know? Yep. The Bengals hired Joe Flacco.
I was going to say my only NFL take was going to be, like it has been the last 2 weeks, prepare the gold jacket for Danny Dimes.
Damn right.
And how would you like to be having lunch at home and you have it on SportsCenter and you hear them cut away and go, we have breaking news in the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals have acquired, I take off running into the kitchen, Joe Flacco. You want to talk about the biggest letdown? All right.
Guys, I know Tuna does need to get out of here so he can watch his Dodgers try to clinch this playoff series. So we're going to close down the Upstairs Pub a little bit early. And I'm going to call last call, and we're going to start with Tuna. And
did you want to talk about our UFL team before we did last call?
I figured one of you would bring that up.
Well, bring it up, Tuna. Let's go.
Well, I had something else to bring up, but we can go right into that then. I'll bring that up next week. Hold on. I got to pull my picks up. Yeah, so we talked about it a few months ago.
Yes.
And we talked about it being on the horizon, and it actually happened.
It did happen.
The once formerly known as the Memphis Showboats is now the Louisville Kings.
I didn't even know which team we got.
So I think we're getting – and I just found this out this week. All the players in the UFL live in Dallas, and they all practice in Dallas, and everybody's in Dallas. But during the game weeks, they fly up a couple days before the game, and, like, this is our – they belong to Louisville or whatever.
Okay,
so
you're kidding. So we're not going to run into these guys hanging around.
I mean,
Louisville?
Maybe after a game that night or something. I don't know.
Damn it.
I don't know.
I'm going to have a coldie with one of them.
Getting them on for like podcast interviews on a Tuesday night may not happen.
Yeah.
Well, I got to find out where AJ McCarron's at.
They're playing their home, which the reason why a lot of these teams are relocating is they're, and it's a smart idea. They're trying to get out of the big, except for St. Louis.
Except for St. Louis, Kaka. What am I going to do there?
Washington, I think, has a little bit bigger stadium.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get out of the big stadiums into the smaller stadiums so that they're full, which that makes it look better on TV.
Right.
The
That's what Mike
better.
Rapoli, you know, and he's the – obviously, you know that he's the owner of a couple Triple Crown horse yeah. races, The Rock. I heard Jack Harlow's got a cut in the Louisville team.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Rock is –
The
Part
Rock
owner
is
of the league,
right, and so is Rapoli. Right, right. So, but
Rapoli was a big reason why they came to Louisville.
Well, because he's a big horse racing yeah. guy, and he knows what Louisville's all about.
And they're going to play their games over here at Lynn Family Stadium.
Dark green and black.
Great tailgate parking lot there, yep. right next
what
to the stadium.
What about the colors? Dark green and black.
It looks like the DraftKings logo.
Yeah.
It looks like Little Kings too.
Yeah.
We could get a beer snake with Little Kings going.
I hope they serve Little Kings at the games.
I do too.
But season tickets are very reasonably priced. I don't know if you guys looked at this yet.
I have not.
But you can get season ticket packages.
I'm looking for the
merch tickets
page.
Are going to be between $25 and $30, but you can save money if you get the season tickets package, which there's only going to be like 5 home games.
Right.
They play a 10-game season.
So we got U of L, UK, and Hoosiers all pulling for the same team. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I don't think we've ever been on the same team ever.
It's finally happened. Besides the soccer team, right. But as far as football, here we go. I love the logo. Mm. I love what it stands for. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby and horse racing is known as the sport of kings.
Yeah.
You got Muhammad Ali.
What's the Muhammad Ali tie?
Well, he's the king.
Well, I've never heard him be called the king
before. I haven't either, but I guess it just...
Well, okay.
If I get a jersey, it'll have Ali on the back.
Because Louisville was named
right?
after King Louis.
Yes.
Horse racing
King Louis,
was...
Right.
I don't know what number King Louis. There was like 45 of them.
No,
but
it was like 32 or something.
Okay.
I can't do my Roman numerals.
But no, it's tremendous news. We were all very excited.
And what is Fred going to do? Like, now I've got to get rid of my Kaká jersey, and I'm on board with Louisville.
I just
dropped my team.
I called up Bob Stoops, and I said, sorry, Renegades, I'm out.
Yeah,
I want nothing to do with you guys
I'm
anymore.
Done, and I tried to get McCarron to come on board and be the quarterback.
And I still plan on making a Defenders game someday, only this time, by God, I'll be wearing the green and black.
That's right.
Damn right. Damn
Tuna.
Right.
What else you got for us?
All right. Well, one more thing. I'm going to mention it because I think we got time. Greed and money has taken over sports again and kind of ruined it. It looks like NCAA is going to expand the tournament field to 76. And it's going to be absolutely awful.
Yeah.
I don't really want to bitch about it too much because I'm in a good mood and I don't want to get sad. But so I'm going to go right into my picks. So I'm taking starting out. Iowa State coming off of a heartbreaker
Great minds think alike.
At Colorado. Ohio State's going to run this one. So Ohio State -3.
Iowa State.
What'd I say?
State. Ohio.
Oh, sorry.
Iowa State. Ugh.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go with Tennessee at home to cover the 12.5 against a train wreck of an Arkansas coaching staff.
I'm going to look at that one. Yeah.
Then – this is something I'm going to ride while the sports books haven't caught up. Clemson. Give me Clemson -14. Clemson's a good football team.
I got it.
Do you?
Man, Boston College is awful.
Yeah.
They're awful.
They're bad, and Clemson is they're a good football
team.
They
got their head down, and they're playing football.
This is
now.
What Cade Klubnik does. He plays great against bad teams and awful against good teams. So
totally.
This is it. And then I'm taking Pitt. Plus the 10.5 at Florida State. I don't know if you guys seen this. They benched Eli Holstein during the Louisville game. They were like, you're done. You're not playing no more. Which Eli Holstein was a top 5 quarterback in that league going into it. What they didn't know is they got this 5-star kid sitting right behind him who came in, and he's been incredible.
Didn't he score like 44
yes.
points?
Mason Henreich, I think is his name. The kid just throws darts. He's locked in. He's dialed in. I think Florida State's a fraud. I like Pittsburgh to go down there and get that.
I'm making a note of that.
And then I am taking Texas Tech to cover the 13.5 against Kansas. They have covered every single week this year,
yes.
and that trend is going to continue.
You love either betting Kansas or betting against them.
Yeah.
Lance
I know it, dude.
Ball.
Well, I bet on him, and then he crushed me against Cincy, so you're on the shit list, Lance. You're back on it.
Man.
So those are my picks.
All right, Freddie, last call.
Okay, I am going to, I am knocking at, forget Washington State plus 32.5. I don't think I'm going to take that one. So I'm going as tuna. I've got Iowa State minus 3 at Colorado. I think they're going to bounce back. They're a great bounce back team. They're a comeback team, all of that. They're 5-1. I like that. Colorado, Deion's had some issues. Mm-hmm. He's not even been with the team. I got a feeling he might not be coaching at the end because he will be stepping down for health reasons. And good luck to him. But I've got UNLV. UNLV minus 6.5 at home after a big win last week in the snow. Who would have thought UNLV could play in the snow and win? This is versus a 1-4 reeling Air Force team. So go UNLV. I'm going Texas A&M minus 7.5 at home. I don't think Florida. I think Florida will come in and play tough, but I'd see fourth quarter Texas A&M reeling on away with that win. Little old Clemson going with little old Clemson at a horrible 1-4 BC team. Minus 14. Nothing's going to happen at Boston College. Nothing
this is
going
to be a 30-40 point. I might do alternate spread on that.
Yeah,
and take it up to Clemson's 20 plus.
A possible lock. And then I am going with my hot team, 3 wins on them, San Diego State at a 1-4 Nevada, who crushed me on my 5-game parlay against Fresno last week. Don't know what happened, but San Diego State at 4-1 is going to beat them. By a touchdown. So let's go.
What's
with
the
that
spread on that one, Freddie?
Minus 7, touchdown.
Okay. All right.
I'm still going to bet that Washington State just to see if they can cover 30. I'm going to have 36.
One thing about Lane, he is very aware of the spreads.
Oh, I
he
bet.
Makes sure
he
to mention that
to
at the end of the, during his post game pressers.
My picks this week, I've got USC covering the 2.5 against Michigan.
Nice.
I've got TCU covering the 1.5 against Kansas State.
I have that bet.
I've got UCF covering the 10.5 against Cincinnati.
Ah,
I love that.
Wow.
I have UCLA.
He's betting UCF a lot this year. You have.
I have UCLA covering the 8.5 against Michigan State.
Oh, no, shit.
And
I love it.
I have Maryland.
Yes.
Covering 6.5 at
home. Home dog.
Getting 6.5 points at home against Nebraska.
Right. We want their quarterback to play.
Colin has USF getting 1.5 against Texas.
That's a good one.
He has Missouri covering the 3.5 against
Boo!
Bama. He has Florida covering the 7.5 against A&M.
He likes Florida. That's a loss.
He has Old Dominion.
Yes,
ODU.
I've already bet ODU, a good football team.
Yeah, I have
already bet that game, and I almost made my top 5.
And of course, his last pick.
We know this.
He's got Indiana.
Damn right, he does.
7.5 against Oregon, guys. Before we get out of here, your prediction, Indiana-Oregon, final score.
I'm going to say IU 31, Oregon 28.
Fred?
Okay, I'm going to go – oh, man. I'm going to go Oregon – I'm going to go
– just do it.
Oh, no, I'm going to go – Indiana, they're going to make history this weekend. And you know how I'm down on Oregon. I just can't stand them. I'm going Indiana 2017. Field goal wins.
I'm right there with you. I've got Indiana winning 24-21. 24-21. Okay. But what I really hope is that it's a – well, what I really hope is that Indiana just beats the brakes off of them and they're up by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But what I hope with my brain is that it's a tight game going into the fourth quarter and it comes down to the last play. Cannot wait for this weekend's
slate. I can't wait to watch Sig on the sidelines in this one, dude.
He'll be just like he is on in
every
game.
I hope he punks landing out like a dog.
Can't wait to talk about baseball next week. We'll have much more clarity on who's playing for the pennant. Can't wait to talk about all these great college games that we've got coming up. Can't wait to talk about our tremendous record with our picks that are sure to be great yet once again. Again, quickly, Travis has USC, TCU, UCF, UCLA, and Maryland. Colin has USF, Missouri, Florida, Old Dominion, IU. Freddie, Iowa State, UNLV, A&M, Clemson, and San Diego State. Tuna, Iowa State, Tennessee, Clemson, Pitt, and Texas Tech. Four, the big fella of the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.